Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. You are tuned in to the Sunday's panel discussion, and I'm your host this week, Siam Jada. So today I'm joined with Nabila Muhammad and Fatima Mawsam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. How are you, Siam?
Alhamdulillah. So for this week, our topic is Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, which means encouraging good and forbidding evil. I think this is really appropriate, especially for the youth. It's a very appropriate discussion because sometimes without realizing it, we expose our sins, which influences people to follow the wrong thing, and we don't realize the severity of it. And we underestimate how much of reward we can get for enforcing the good. So, Nabila, why don't you start off and tell us your thoughts on Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar?
So we recently did this in Hadith also, and Abba opened up our eyes a lot to see exactly how the little things we do can gain us reward, and also the small things we do can get us in. So by encouraging good, I think it means to just always try and make people do good, and you do good yourself. And then forbidding evil is like stopping someone from committing a sin and also helping yourself become a better person.
I agree. And what about you, Fatima? What are your thoughts?
So my thoughts, like the small little good actions that one does that affects many other people around them, and keeping them away from the bad things. Like if you maybe sitting in a gathering and they're talking about someone, move away. So you're not a part of the bad that's happening right there. So abstain yourself away from all the bad that's happening around you, and rather focus on spreading more goodness.
And do you guys feel also that when you are in a gathering where people are enjoying the good, it makes it easier for you to practice on it as well? If you are in a group with your friends and you guys are going out, but let's just say one girl comes dressed really modestly, it will really encourage you to dress more modestly, or maybe to read your salah or something else. Whereas if no one in that group was thinking about their salah or thinking about the way they were dressing, it would make it more difficult for you to do that. So I think also by sticking to your values in that, it helps the people around you. And that is also enjoining the good and encouraging people to come towards good. Do you feel that way as well?
Yes, it's always about the company you choose to put yourself with, and also how strong you are to your own morals, because you can easily be influenced as well.
Yeah. And Fatima?
And maybe also, like, you know, the way they dress or the actions that they do, it brings you more closer and you want to be like them in a way also, you know, like it brings this goodness inside of you. So you just want to be just like them.
Yeah. And another thing that is, I would say, is quite difficult, bringing back to the point that where Fatima said, for an example, you are sitting in a gathering and they start backbiting, you should try to remove yourself from that friend group or from that situation. But do you guys agree that sometimes it can be difficult to just always excuse yourself? I'm not condoning that. We should be the ones that are enjoying the good and encouraging the good. But sometimes when you are alone and you feel like marginalized, it makes it a lot more difficult for you to say, hey, like, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this with these people. So let me move away.
Sometimes it is, and it's even hard to just like speak up and say like, okay, this is wrong. Forget even getting up and just leaving. We should rather try and stop it by ourselves. But like you said, it is difficult sometimes to do so.
And so somehow when you like in a group of people that are doing the same thing, in your mind you start to condone their actions also. Like let's take an example. If you're in school and you know that your entire class had homework or an assignment to do, but then you go to school the next day and no one did it. Somehow, because everyone is doing the same thing, you feel much better about it, even though you are not supposed to be feeling good about that. So, Fatima, what do you think about that? Have you ever experienced that, where just because people around you are doing it, you sort of think it's okay?
Yeah, so you see, like, because they don't do it, it makes you feel way better and you feel like a bit more comforted. But at the end of the day, you didn't do that. Your homework, for example, like you were saying, you didn't do your homework, so that's not a good thing. But now they also never do their homework, so it's making you feel better, but in a way that's also not correct, because at the end of the day it's only going to affect you more.
So do you think that that whole thing about feeling comforted by the people around you can also fit in with Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar? Like, if the group of friends around you are talking about something that is haram, and you know you do that sin as well, and normally when you do a sin, you're supposed to feel guilty, but as soon as you hear that your friend is unfortunately indulging in the same sin as you are, you feel comforted, like, in a way which we are not supposed to be feeling, like, oh, like, you do it too, so it must be fine.
Yeah, and then you enthusiastically go and say, like, me too, when it's something you should have been, like, kept quiet about, not even said in the first place, because it should be embarrassing.
So, sugar, with me, I don't really feel comforted when they speak bad about something that I do to actually, like, keep it to myself, because, you know, I feel guilty about it.
And that is the correct mindset, mashallah, because sometimes when someone, I would say especially when we were a bit younger, when someone used to expose their sins and say that I'm doing this, people would like try to almost compete in it, like try to make it like, oh, but I do something even worse than that. And like that is like, hey, I do that too, or I was thinking about doing that. And I think that comes to a point where it's completely normalized as well.
And it's like, at the end of the day, a wrong is still a wrong. Whether other people are doing it or you look cool doing it, it's still not right to be doing something like that.
And also, I don't think we should be making it seem like, unfortunately, in school and stuff, or I won't say school in particular, I'm going to say wherever you are with people your age, it's unfortunate that a lot of the time people would look at the person that is doing wrong openly and saying that is cool. Like, if two people come to a place and one girl is dressed modestly and the other one is not, obviously the sins are between them and Allah, but you would automatically think that the girl that is dressed modestly is not cool or not as fun as the person that is not. Have you felt this way, Fatima?
Yeah, sometimes I do feel like that, but then also I look at it on the good side of things, like the person dressed unmodestly, like, you know, maybe they'll be looked at, or and the person dressed modestly, obviously they're going to be looked at because people are going to think that they're not cool. But you should also look at the pros and cons of both sides of what's happening. You know, the pros and cons of the way both of them are dressing.
Yeah. And you, Nabila?
I also think that people, just because she's maybe not following a trend and she chose to wear her scarf or dress modestly, they'll think she's not cool. But at the end, she is living up to her values and doing her own thing, which is actually be like you said, encouraging good. Other people should take inspiration from it and do so as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't forced to wear it like that. She wanted to do it on her own.
And I think sometimes without even meaning to enforce and encourage good, you do it. Because like we said, if you are with your friend and you say, that's it, that was salam, like, because you're doing it for yourself, you indirectly encouraging it to other people as well. So I think we need to be more mindful of our practices, because the same way we could be just subconsciously spreading good, we could be spreading evil as well. And may Allah save us, but I was thinking about it when our one teacher said that in friend groups, and that it is so common to ask a friend, unfortunately, you know, what TV series are you watching? What movie are you watching? And you don't realize, like our teacher was telling us, you don't realize that it's haram to do that. So if your friend starts watching a TV series, or if your friend starts watching a movie because you recommended it to them, you're getting their sin and your sin.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it.
You do it every day, like subconsciously, because we always like, what series are you watching right now? Did you see this new movie? And then we don't realize that because we're telling them to go and watch it, we're actually getting sent.
Yeah.
That is so bad.
It really is. And unfortunately, we, like Nabila said, we do it subconsciously without even realizing it. So imagine, unfortunately, how much sin we could be just accumulating. You go to three people and you're like, hey, watch this movie. And those three people watch the movie and they go tell another three people, go watch this movie. All in all, it's tying up back to you.
Yeah, because you started it. You were like that source of it.
Yeah.
It's a loophole.
It is a loophole. And I think that goes with everything. If you post a picture on your social media and you have music playing in the background of an Instagram story, And every single person that views that Instagram story, you're getting a cent for that person because you are the reason that they have come across, you know, that music. And let's just say that person is like, oh my God, this song sounds really good. And then they go and listen to that song, like the full version on YouTube or somewhere. Ultimately, you are going to get the cent.
Because you encourage them to go and listen to it.
Yeah, and like I'm not saying encourage where you are like, go and listen to the song, it's so good. You're going to indirectly encourage that behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and our whole topic is encouraging good and forbidding evil. So we should like find ways on how to encourage good more and also how to forbid evil.
I think that also a way to encourage good is via social media, because a lot of the youth is on social media. And if you have a lot of followers on Instagram, any social media platform, if you use it to encourage people to come towards good, imagine how much of a reward you're going to get. Like, even if you just maybe post a hadith every day on your Instagram story, every person that reads it and inshallah imposes it into their lifestyle, you're going to get the reward. That can be a form of, you know, thawab jariyah. And I'm going to say, even if you, well, we had this question in one of our exam papers. So, Nabila, what did you say? How can we use social media, or how do you think we can use social media to enforce good?
If we make our social media platforms first off positive, and then we can post up things that are good, like maybe a positive quote every day, because you never know who's feeling bad that day, and if they see it, you can make them happy. Or like you said, posting hadith, or even like a famous quote that's good, of course, and you post it, I feel like so many people could look at that and take examples from it.
Yeah. And you, Fatima, how do you, or how would you like to use your social media to enforce good, or how do you suggest that the youth can use their social media?
So I agree with you, Siam, on the hadith part and Nabila on the positive quote part, but also another way is like maybe you could, obviously, you whatever you're doing is for the pleasure of Allah. But then also, you could maybe take a video of you reading the Quran and showing how happy you are doing it. And other people will be like, look at her, she looks so happy reading the Quran. You know, maybe I also want to feel this happiness. And so maybe they also go and read the Quran also.
But I have a question. At what point do you think, okay, so you know, all our actions are judged by our intentions. I feel as though sometimes you can get so engrossed into making it seem as though you are trying to enforce evil, but your intention is not corrected. You're doing it to show people on social media, hey, I maybe read Salah 5 times a day, or I give charity on a daily basis. Like, do you think that it can come to a point where you are, in a way, encouraging good, but your intention isn't very sincere?
Your intention shouldn't be to do it to post it. It should be like, I'm doing this because I need to and it's good and it's obviously for the sake of Allah. But then also, you should be happy doing it. And if you're posting it, you need to be genuinely there, like your intention is to be there.
Yeah. So the intention part is very important, because for the wrong intentions, it can be then a bad thing and not the good.
Yes. So I'm going to share the hadith that we did on Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. So Sayyidina Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of the person who obeys Allah Ta'ala and the person who disobeys him is like that of a group of passengers who, having to travel by ship, drew lots in order to decide who will board the upper deck and who will board the lower. Now, when the people in the lower deck intend drawing water from the sea, they have to pass through the upper deck. Thinking that this is annoying the people on the upper deck, they say, if we make a hole in our deck, we will not inconvenience the people on the upper deck. Rasulullah said, then concludes by saying, if the passengers of the upper deck leave them alone and allow them to do as they please, they will perish because they will drown. But if they stop them and prevent them from making a hole in the floor of the ship, they will be saved. And this is from Bukhari. So just to explain it, so you know, sometimes you look at a person doing a sin and you think, it's not my business, it's not my life, it's their life. But like according to this hadith, if you don't stop them, there's a good chance that you could be punished with them. And I think that is so scary.
That is way scary.
Yeah. And I also think, I don't know if you people feel the same, but a lot of the times people don't like to be told when they are doing wrong.
Yeah, especially when you walk past someone and they're doing something wrong and you're like, hey, aren't you like ashamed? That's not good for you. They just look at you as if you're trying to invade their life and you're not trying to do something good for them. And they normally get angry.
Yeah, and they're like, it's my personal life. Why are you putting your business in my life? But you're just trying to help them at the end of the day, but they don't feel like that. They feel like you're just invading their privacy.
Yeah, and yeah. I also
they
think
feel
that,
like they don't need the help.
Yeah, and when you are helping someone, you are making someone mindful of the sins that they are doing, we need to remember that that does not mean we are better than them in any way. And it also means that we shouldn't be picking apart their faults in a condescending manner. We should be doing it with constructive criticism and acknowledging that the good that they are doing also. And I think in a certain way, you should also be telling people about the wrong that they commit. You shouldn't do it openly to make them feel bad in front and to dishonor them in front of a lot of people. You should do it privately. And again, you should remember that this does not make you better than that person, because that person could be doing so many other good deeds that you do not know about, and their intentions may be really sincere. And are you doing, you are going and correcting them on their faults, but not for the good reasons. You're doing it to maybe embarrass them in front of a group of people or to make your self-esteem go up.
Yeah, when you want to help someone, you should genuinely be happy to do so and do it with the intention that I need to make this person's life better, not to say, okay, I'm such a good person, everyone needs to look at me, I'm helping this certain person.
Yeah, yeah, but then also you can only correct them if you don't do the action yourself, because then you need to first correct your faults before correcting another person's faults.
But
yes, you should always judge yourself first.
I agree with Fatima to a certain extent. Let's use a scenario where, let's just say I as an individual listens to a lot of music or something, and I'm going with my friend and my friend is listening to a lot of music. I do still believe that if I'm in the company of that friend, I should encourage her not to listen to music, even if I am committing the same sin, because otherwise you will just be indulging in sin together. And I think that when you make a person mindful of it, in a way you are making yourself mindful of that sin also. So you are admitting and you are acknowledging that what you are doing is incorrect. But now, instead of just letting everyone else perish with you, getting the sin with you, you stop it. Mm-hmm. Because maybe you could be speaking from experience also, you know. Let's just say you went through this time where you were doing a certain sin, and now you can see someone falling into that same trap. So you do try to encourage them not to do it, and you do try to give them advice on it, which could then help them not get into it. And I think in that way it would be encouraging good. So does that make sense? Do you agree? Or what do you think?
Yeah, and also, like you said, if two people listen to music together, you can maybe try and stop together as well. It would make it easier knowing you have someone there doing it with you. And you could distract each other with doing something else, like building a puzzle instead of listening to music, or even baking or something else.
I know, and it's always easier to break that habit, like you said, when you're doing it with someone else. But I also don't... If you know that you and your friend are committing the same sin, it shouldn't be a thing where you feel relieved that you're not the only one. It should be a thing where you should say, hey, here's this person that's going through the same thing I'm going through. We can try to change together. And then, you know, if you and your friend are trying to leave something for the sake of Allah, obviously you will start to form a bond. You will start to love each other, and you will love each other for the sake of Allah. And I don't think that a friendship could get any more pure than that. You know, you're meeting every day and you're trying to better yourselves together for Allah.
Yes, and it helps that way so much more. And you're getting more reward, because you're getting the reward for like doing good for yourself and encouraging the next person, and so too for your friend, because you're like helping each other.
I agree also, like, for what the reward part also. And then also, you know, while doing it together with each other, it brings relief in a way that you both are helping each other out also.
Yes. So, another part of that hadith was Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, encouraging people to do good actions and discouraging them from sin and disobedience, is one of the very important and salient features of our Sharia. And do you guys think, or do you, I don't know if you do think, on a daily basis, or when you're going through your day-to-day routine, do you ever think, like, this is my opportunity to enforce good, or this is my opportunity to forbid evil?
Yes, like there's so many opportunities that are given to you to either like tell a person to stop doing something or to join them in doing something good.
Yeah, and also if your friends get annoyed with you, like let's just say your friend group is talking bad about someone and you're trying to put a stop to it and say, you know, we can speak about so many other things. And if your friend group gets really cross or irritated with you, then I think it's time for you to find new friends.
Yes, please.
Yeah, it's like a bit of a toxic environment then like that, because they always want to do that evil and they're not realizing it and they're going to carry on even though you're trying to help them.
Yeah, I've come across today one time already. Today I came across a time when I wanted to stop someone from doing something bad, but you know, but because they were bigger than me, it's a bit difficult for me because then they'll tell you like you have no respect.
Oh, yes. They think because you're younger, they can't take any advice from you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that is not the correct mindset to have. Now, I'm saying that if you are younger than someone, you should do it in a very respectful manner. But also, if you know that the person who's younger than you is giving you good advice and is correct, then put your ego aside and just take the advice. You can't say that I'm not going to take advice from you just because of your age. Because if I'm correct, even though I'm younger than you, then I think it's a pride issue.
Yeah, because a lot of people won't want to admit they're wrong just because they're older than you, which is actually really wrong, because at the end of the day, you could have helped them, and then it always ends up in a fight like that.
So, Fatima, how do you suggest you can overcome? How do you think, if you have advice to someone that is older than you, and how do you think we should approach the situation?
So you should approach it very gently and calmly and with the utmost of respect. Like say maybe someone's an elder person, they exclaim that they're in hijab and then maybe their fringe is out. So then you go towards them and you'll be like, Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to let you know that your fringe is out and we're supposed to cover our hair. Do it in the most respectful way possible.
Yes. Let's switch the roles now. Let's just say that someone younger than you comes to you and tells you what you're doing is wrong. Please stop. I think the first thing that we need to realize is that sometimes people are genuinely care for us and they're not always there just to pull apart our faults. They're trying to encourage good. And obviously, you're going to encourage good to people that you love because you don't want them to get sin and you don't want them to get punished. So you're going to try to get them on the right path quickly. You know, so do you think that sometimes when people are receiving that constructive criticism, they can take it in the wrong way?
Yeah, because some people, when you give them advice, they take it in a way that, okay, this person found this wrong with me. What's wrong with them? It's disrespectful. But they don't realize that you're just trying to help them and correct them. And because their mindset is like that and they have egos, they take it in the wrong way.
Yeah, they also feel like who are you to tell me what to do, and like, look at you, you're smaller than me and I'm bigger than you, you know?
It's the like the arms there, pride. There's a lot of pride.
Yeah. And I think, do you guys agree that sometimes it can be more difficult to put a stop to your friends doing that than a stranger? Because sometimes when you're with your friends, this is if you are in a bad friend group, okay? You feel the need to just be okay with everything that they're doing. You don't want to be the lame one in the group. But in your heart, you know what they're doing is not correct. And it can be so difficult when it's with your close friends. Or do you think it's easier because they will be more understanding that they're your close, because they are your close friends?
Sometimes it's harder because you feel like if you're going to stop them, they might put a stop to the friendship as well. And then sometimes it's easy because you know that they know you have a good bond with them, so you just want what's good for them.
I agree with Madina on that. And then also it can be really good, like with you helping them, they will be more understanding, hopefully, inshallah.
Inshallah.
In that way. And then with a stranger also, it might just be, like you'll also be uncomfortable telling them this because you don't know them.
And let's just say that you do see these people committing a sin. If you are not going to try and stop the sin, then don't go around spreading that person's sin also. Because as soon as you spread that sin, you are first of all, that's backbiting, right? So you are in turn giving them your good sins and you are taking their bad sins. sometimes people think that, oh, if I go around and tell everyone so-and-so is doing this sin, they're going to think I'm good and that person's bad. But you don't realize that that in itself is a sin.
Yeah, because it's like you said, backbiting. You don't ever point out someone else's wrongs. You speak to them alone when they alone shout them that what you're doing is wrong and help them. This person is doing so and so.
Yeah. And what about you, Fatima? What do you think about this?
Like if you don't go around telling people all bad things, so first of all, that's bullying and it's wrong and it's just very mean and heartless. They should rather keep it to themselves and then go aside and tell that person nicely, or they should tell someone who will be able to help that person.
Let's flip the situation around a little bit. Let's say that you know, we are human. We all sin, unfortunately. And I think that the first thing to rectify those things is to come to terms with it and to realize your mistakes so that you can put in effort to change them. Now, let's just say you are discussing your sin with one of your best friends. Would you want your best friend, or let's just say that you have this gift to spot, right? You have like this really good piece of gossip to spill with your friend. And would you want your friend to say, hang on a second, what we're doing is wrong, and we should not be doing this wrong together? Or would you want your friend to just overlook your faults? Because this is a tricky one also. We never put ourselves in this situation, that if our friend has to actually tell us what we're doing is wrong, would we want them to tell it to us, or would we feel awkward and a bit annoyed at them because, you know, they're supposed to be a partner in crime. They're supposed to do everything with you. And now suddenly they're like, nope.
So I've actually been in a situation like this where I said something. I didn't realize, like, before I said it, I didn't realize, like, it's going to be a bit disrespectful or rude in a manner to certain people or offend someone. And then after this, my friend group, like, told me and explained to me, like, how it could be offensive or it could be wrong. And I didn't get angry with him at all. Like, I thought about it for myself and I was like, you know, maybe it is and maybe I am wrong. So I just, like, said thank you. I should thank them for telling me that it was, like, informing me that it's wrong so I know not to do it again, and also making me conscious of other people's like mindsets and feelings.
Yeah, and then I feel also like maybe to a certain extent you might get irritated because like you want to express your feelings or like, you know, like what is been bothering you or whatever, you know, this really good tea that you need to spill, and they're just like, no, Ribert, and you're like, I need to tell you something important, and you're like, no, Ribert, and like, so to a certain extent you might get irritated, but then also they're doing it for the betterment of saving you from getting more evil turns in all of that.
Yeah.
And also a really easy way I think we speak about other people is we're human. We all get irritated at some point. So if someone's really annoying you at some day, I'm sure you go to your best friend and you're like, okay, this person is like really getting on my nerves. And then you'll probably say a thing or two out of anger. And I think controlling our anger also becomes like a big, plays a big role in this also.
And I think the part of realizing that they're only doing it for you because they love you. Your friend obviously wants what's best for you. I mean, think of you and your best friend. You want what is best for your best friend. So obviously, in turn, she wants what is best for you. And I think that that is beautiful, that she's thinking about your sins and she's thinking about your akhirah and the punishment that you can go through. And she's trying to prevent that from happening also.
Yeah, it is. And it's a good thing to have friends like that, obviously, and not have bad company.
Yeah, and so one thing they were saying, if when you're on your deathbed and who is your friend that is going to tell you to read your kalima, and you have to, and if you have to think about that, then you need to get yourself a new friend group.
Yes. Oh, I read that last year and that really like hit. It got me thinking that if you were surrounded by your friends, would any of them the first instinct be to encourage you to read your kalima? And if the answer is no, get new friends. But then I also think that we should become that friend that would encourage you to read the kalima also. Sometimes we focus so much on the people around us that we don't realize that we are people around other people. Do you know what I mean? That
yeah.
The same
yeah.
way we need people that are going to be good for us around us, we need to be the person that's around other people and that is good for them. So while we want friends that encourage good and forbid evil, we should become the the friend that encourages good and forbids evil. We want a friend that will help us through our sins. We should become that friend as well. So I think that also got me thinking of who I am and if I who I am as a friend and whether I am a good friend or not. And I think that we obviously want to aspire to be like that.
Yes, we must also realize that we, at the end of the day, are a friend to someone, a sister to someone, or we always have someone there that we're going to have to help. So we must look at ourselves as well and see if we do the right thing or the wrong thing. Because we're always looking at other people and quick to judge other people's actions really quickly. But we, the last person we look at is ourselves.
Yeah, and because also, you know, you're waiting for someone to be the example for you, but someone else is also waiting for you to be the example to them. So you also got to be the good example for other people also, and then maybe that person who you wanted to be your example, then you end up being their example.
And again, that's a form of encouraging good as well, which means that it's double reward.
Yeah.
So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "You are the best of nations in that you are taken out for the benefit of mankind because you encourage good deeds, discourage sin, and you believe in Allah." So this hadith outlines the importance of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar and the disastrous consequences of neglecting this fundamental aspect of Islam. So in short, we will all have to bear the brunt of Allah's wrath in the world if we do not dissuade the people from the disobedience of Allah in this sin. So we're also sharing the mindset where, I mean, we should know that the sin is only between that person and Allah, but we should also have the highest form of iman by trying to physically stop that action. And that is much more difficult than, like, you can say it, you know, stop the sin. But when it's actually happening, sometimes you feel obliged to just take part into it.
Yeah, there's that saying that goes, actions speak louder than words. So I think by actually practicing upon, you'd be doing the most.
Yeah, because you can't just also like think about saying what you're going to say and then not end up saying it because you get nervous or you stutter or something. So you got to practice more on doing it rather than thinking about it.
So if you are in a situation where you know your friend is doing something wrong and you want them to stop for the pleasure of Allah and because you care about them, but you know that they are being stingy and stubborn, do you snitch on them to like a person of authority or person that's older, or do you just try to persuade them by yourself to stop doing their sin?
Like you said, snitch. So obviously if you do it in a bad way without warning that person first, it would be quite wrong of you also, because when you're getting that person into trouble, even though they are doing wrong, you should first try and speak to them by yourself and then give them a fair warning that if they don't stop, you are going to get an adult or a supervisor involved, because it's for the best for them.
I agree with Nabila on that point. And then, like, you got to help them also. And then you, like, yeah, warn them first before, like, say, like, maybe, if you don't stop, I'm going to tell whoever and whoever. And if they still don't stop, then go tell whoever and ever. Let that whoever and ever help them, because you tried your very best at the end of the day.
Yeah, because I feel like if you just had to tell a third person without giving them a fair warning, it would make you bad, like you just wanted to get them in trouble.
And then you might lose the trust also.
Yes.
And also you feel really guilty. Even though you are not the one, I hope, that's not partaking in the sin, you still think about it really often and you feel really guilty when you guys are discussing it or when you're alone, you're thinking, this is my friend and she's doing this and this. Don't you feel really bad on the inside?
Yeah, because it's not good for them at the end, and they always want what's best for them.
Yeah, and then you're like, it's going to destroy them. Like, they need to stop.
And like, another thing that's really hard. You see that, Fatima?
It doesn't only affect them, it also affects the people around them.
Yes, and so sometimes when you're in a situation, you can get really swallowed up in the moment, and you can try, you can almost forget that you are doing a sin. Like, someone comes to you with a really big piece of tea, and they're making a ribbit, but you're so engrossed in what's happening, you don't realize that all the time that you were in that person's company, you were committing a sin. And only afterwards, when you evaluate the situation, you realize that I spent so much of my time doing something wrong. And it is a big problem if you cannot sit with your friends or you cannot be with your friends without, indulging in sin.
Yeah, because the other things we could do instead of speaking about another person. Why not speak about yourselves or the people in the group in front of them?
Exactly. Yeah,
I always tell my brother when he comes home with stories from school in Madrasa, I'll always be like, if you want to see the story, don't include the people's names. Like, we don't need to know who they are. Just, like, tell the story, you know?
Because then you start painting a bad picture of that person as well.
Yes. And when you get that wrong idea, and it's like you judge that person before you even meet them for yourself based on one thing they did.
Yeah. So, Nabila, you wrote up like a little assignment about this. So can you share any other points with us, or would you like to summarize it, or let us know if you have thoughts on anything else?
I just think that we should always look at ourselves first, and where we can help, we should, either with actions or words. And if we see someone doing wrong, we either get them the help or be the help.
And what about you, Fatima? Do you have any other thoughts on this?
Help those who need the help. Always be the good guidance for others, and don't be a bad guidance. Be a good influence. All those who need help, you go help them, because you'll get reward, and then while they're doing the good deed, you get more reward for that also.
And a really important one is surround yourself with good company, because if you surround yourself with bad company, it will make it so much more difficult for you to actually encourage good. So I think that is a big one as well.
Yes, it's a very big role to have good company.
And also be the good company.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, that is all for this week's panel discussion. Jazakia, so much for joining me, Nabila and Fatima.
It was a pleasure. Jazakia, for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.